Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For some, Epiphany is their favorite holiday. For others, it is a forgotten holiday, something swallowed up by Christmas. So let us today remember Epiphany so that it is closer to our favorite, not forgotten event in the life of our Savior and what it means for us. Dear Christian friends, I want to talk today about some of the aspects of Epiphany that we might remember all that took place. Some things to kind of take to heart today, a few things. I'll start with the east in Epiphany. We heard that word, east. The wise men were from the east. If you think about the map of Israel to the west, you're out in the ocean and the water, Mediterranean Sea. To the north, you go up to Syria. South, you go down to the desert, into the wilderness, get down to Egypt and so forth. So we're talking now the east, which if you go directly east of Jerusalem today, of Israel today, you get the Jordan. But then you go a little bit further, it's desert, and then you get Iraq, don't you? The wise men from the east means those who were probably in Iraq, which takes us back to the Old Testament, because there was a time when all of Israel was deported to Iraq. Well, it wasn't Iraq back then, but Assyria and later Babylon, as you might have heard it called before too. That's what we're talking about. In the east, wise men from afar see a star and come to Jerusalem, come to Israel a little bit on a high road and then down into Jerusalem to find this Jesus from the east. Why did they come? Well, from the text we know it was a star. They said they saw a star. Yeah, but why did they come? So what? A star. How did they know that the star meant a Messiah was being born? Well, go back to the Old Testament. Daniel supposedly set up a school that looked at the stars. So perhaps they were from that school of Daniel way back during the exile. And they saw the star and started to see what it means. They looked into the scriptures and they came. That's one of the hypotheses of why the wise men came. Nonetheless, they came. And God ensured that these wise men would come so that we would remember this event, this special event called Epiphany. Also want to talk about the evil of Epiphany. The evil of Epiphany. The person the children talked about, King Herod, he's the representative of evil today, isn't he, in the scriptures? He wanted to get the wise men secretly to come talk to them. That's because he didn't want everybody to know what he was doing. And he tried to trick them a bit. Of course, the Lord would make sure that they would go back home a different way so they don't have to face Herod again. But Herod is the representative of the evil king of earth, juxtaposed, if you will, to the king in the manger, Christ Jesus, the real king of the world. But King Herod coveted the power that Jesus might have. And in fact, we celebrate December 28th, something called the Slaughter of the Innocents. And that's a remembrance of all the children that were murdered under King Herod, 2 years old and younger. So lots of babies. Some say up to 14,000 babies slaughtered under Herod. And it also kind of takes you back to the Old Testament in Pharaoh and Egypt were the same kind of thing. The Hebrews were getting too numerous. And Pharaoh killed all the Hebrew children, 2 years of age and younger, I think. So, wow, what interesting parallels. Evil King Pharaoh, evil King Herod, and where God sends a deliverer, someone to rise up and do something for his people to deliver them. Once it was Moses, and he's the bringer of the law, and now we have Jesus, the bringer of the gospel, the true eternity that we all need, the Epiphany star leading us to this child's birth. There was no star over Moses when he was born. There's a star over Christ Jesus. He is the light of the world. Praise be to God. Herod, if you will, as the evil representative, you might think of the Ten Commandments. Which of those commandments did he violate? Well, the fifth commandment for sure, right? That's, you shall not murder. He murdered. The eighth commandment, he lied. He had great deceit in his heart and his mind and what he spoke about his neighbor. He tried to deceive the wise men, so he broke the eighth commandment. And also, I would suggest the last two commandments, 9 and 10, murder starts where? In your heart. He coveted the power that Jesus would have, not his own power that he already had, but a different king? What's this? And all evil, even murder, Jesus said, starts in the heart out of the heart comes murder and theft and all these things. So he violated the ninth and tenth commandments as well. He's the big representative of evil, and we never forget that Jesus was born in a time where there was great evil. And today you might say there's great evil too, isn't there? Still a lot of evil in the world. We see it daily on the news. That's the kind of world God enters. And Epiphany is a star, a light in a dark, dark world. I want to talk about the expense of Epiphany too, the expense of Epiphany. Wise men opened up their treasures, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Plus, they traveled from afar to see Jesus at their own expense. That was a sacrifice, an expensive one. They could have died along the way. They could have been robbed. But God provided for them during their journey to visit Jesus and protected their travels, as he does often for us today, praise be to God, so that this journey and visit would be remembered and celebrated as we are doing today throughout all generations. There's something important here happening to have those wise men play such an important part of the scriptures and to give us this word of Epiphany. We bring our treasures to Jesus also. Thank you for the gift up here, children. We bring our treasures too, not gold and frankincense and myrrh, but we do bring them as an act of worship. That's why they brought what they brought to Jesus, to honor him. These are things of high value, and they lay it before Christ Jesus to say, as Justin said, he's someone special. He has great value for all people. We're the Gentiles, these Gentiles, and the Jews, they didn't know yet that he was of that great value except for Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. So this Jesus, we're learning through the text, is an important king, not just for the Jews, but right away at his birth, also to the Gentiles. And because of the expensive gifts that they bring, we remember too that we come and worship and open up our treasures for him too. Some give tithes, 10%. Some give more. Some give less. People bring expensive sacrifices to keep the gospel going out. And that's really what they did too, because those gifts helped Jesus and the family go down into Egypt and escape King Herod later on. How did they do that? It's expensive to travel. Well, God provided for them, didn't he? And knowing the evil that they would have to endure, he provided them an escape route and have the means to go down into Egypt and so forth. And some even hypothesize that the incense or the myrrh would have been saved for his burial one day. Don't know. But it's an interesting thought. All because of the expense it costs God to send Jesus into the world. That's the main point of them bringing their expensive gifts and laying it before him. They're recognizing that God spent quite a bit to give us this child. This is an expensive gift to the world. His love and expense, our response, smaller response, for the sake of others. His cross paid all of our debts so that we can be debt-free before God. Not money, is it? But the transaction of sin and death. That we could be debt-free, sin-free, live stain-free, perfect before God, of high value to God, for us to be perfect before him. And Christ Jesus, the gift of God, the donum of the gospel, Jesus, is the gift that makes us pure and holy to stand before God, debt-free, fully free and forgiven, loved as a child of God, like everybody loved Jesus. Epiphany reminds us of the costly gift of Jesus. Gold and frankincense and myrrh are just things representing high value. Jesus, as gift of God, is priceless. You can't put a price tag on him. He is God in human flesh. Lastly, I want to talk about the ethne of Epiphany. The ethne, what's that? Well, in Greek, ethne is a word for Gentile. The ethne, or the nations, sometimes it gets translated to. The nations. In other words, Epiphany reveals to us everyone's king. That's who Jesus is. He is the king of the ethne, the Gentiles, the nations. Herod is the evil king of the Israel nation, but Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of the Gentiles, the King of the nations, the King of everyone, the King for all. We evangelize the Epiphany Lord Jesus because he is everyone's Savior and Lord. and King. He is excellent in every way. His cross died for all sins of all people, that some, not all, may repent and believe and rejoice in eternity, which is revealed for us through the Epiphany star. And above all, the Epiphany Lord Jesus, who went and journeyed not to Jerusalem, but to the cross itself, the Holy of Holies, the great high priest place, his throne, to show how much God really truly loves and forgives the whole world, everyone, dying with open arms that you, believing, might live. Praise be to God for this priceless gift. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.